Welcome to some more great Bible preaching from the pulpit of Capital City Baptist Church in the heart of Austin, Texas. Our prayer is that your relationship with Christ is strengthened and that you are blessed by the time you spend in the Word of God with us today.
Stand and open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. I want to preach on that thought this morning. A wise man increaseth strength. As I pastor and as I watch people grow, the longer people live the Christian life, you would think they'd be stronger in their faith, stronger in their convictions, stronger in their beliefs, but regrettably, that's not always the truth. And I know physically speaking, the older we get, we recognize that we're not growing stronger, we're growing weaker and more feeble and more frail, but spiritually, that should not be the case. Mentally, emotionally, that should not be the case. And I think too often, we don't do enough to establish strength and eliminate weaknesses. And the Bible says, a wise man will increase in strength. Now the question is, how in the world do we do that? I want to talk about a few basic steps this morning, ways that we can increase in our spiritual strength. Number one, we have to surround ourselves with strength. Let me repeat that. I know that sounds simple, but it's something we fail to do in our Christian walk. We must surround ourselves with strength. That's strong, godly influences. Now, let me just identify influences because basically we're going to be talking about friendships and relationships this morning. But influences are anything that we lend our ears or our eyes to at any time. Those are the things that influence us. Now, regrettably, Satan has a lot of our attention. This world has a lot of our attention, whether it's TV or social media. Most of you work 24/7 in a lost and wicked and vile and depraved world. So you're constantly being brushed. And I want you to think for a minute about your circumstances, because when we're talking about increasing our spiritual strength, think about your circumstances on a daily basis. From the minute you wake up, whether it's going to work or school or college, whatever environment you're in, you are being attacked. Your faith is being attacked. Your principles are being attacked. Whatever word of God is in your heart and your mind, it's being undermined by this world and by its philosophy. So whether or not you want to admit it, you're being weakened in those circumstances because, yes, you're in church on a Wednesday night. Yes, you're in church on Sunday. I hope you're reading your Bible on a daily basis. I hope you're praying. I hope you're walking with God. Those are things that strengthen you and fortify you. But if you're not surrounding yourself with strength, then you're being weakened 6, 7, 8 hours a day. I wouldn't go home from work after having been in that environment and put more influences in your life that will add additional problems or weaken further your faith or Christianity. So you've got to be careful when you turn on that TV or the internet or some avenue of social media or music or what you pick up and read, because all of those things are influencing the way you think. So to add something that would undermine your faith, attack your convictions, weaken your standards, change your philosophy, hurt your marriage, those are things you've got to avoid. And you have to say, the right kind of influencers are the ones I have to introduce constantly on purpose. Right influences normally don't just stumble in your life. Those are things you have to prepare and plan for. And add to your life, add to your busyness, add to your schedule, and say, a wise man will grow in strength. Now, if you've been saved for five years or 8 years, 10 years, some of you for as many as 25 or 30 years, you should be extremely spiritually strong. Now, if you're not, if you can't look at your life, your spiritual life, and say, I'm much stronger today than I was 10 years ago or 15 or 20 years ago, then you haven't done enough preparation on the spiritual side. You haven't added the right influences in your life, because this world and Satan and your flesh will make sure you're constantly getting wrong influences. And a wise man will increase in strength. And here's what we have to do. Just like those ancient cities, they would build the walls and they would do that to fortify themselves, to strengthen themselves. Here's what you do. When you add godly influences to your life, you're fortifying yourself. This is a team. Christianity is a team concept. I don't care how great you are as a shooter, one man doesn't make a great basketball team. I don't care how good of a quarterback you may be, one man doesn't make a good football team. You know what that quarterback needs? He needs to be fortified by a strong offensive line. That's his protection. You know what good godly influences are in your life? They're fortification. Those are things you have to be adding to your life. Look what it says in the next verse down. We read Proverbs 24, verse 5. Look at verse 6. Here's a good way to fortify yourself, to grow in strength as a wise man. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and a multitude of counselors there is safety. You need to surround yourself with godly counselors who will help strengthen you in the decision-making process. Now, let me just say this about friendship before we go any further in this area of influence. Turn with me to Proverbs 27, verse 17. When we're talking about friendships, I can't overemphasize the importance of godly friendships. I'm convinced, after years of ministry, that the most important thing you can do in your Christian life outside of your walk with God, I hope you're in this book and you should be praying and your relationship with God ought to be growing. But the next important thing, the next most important thing in your Christian life is making sure you're including godly influences in your life, excluding ungodly influences. And it doesn't take long to realize someone's spiritual condition by the friends or friendships that they have. I often talk to parents, and parents say, well, he just got with the wrong crowd. Sooner or later, it's going to dawn on you, he is with his crowd. He is the wrong crowd. How is it that that child is always ending up with the wrong crowd? That is his crowd. You end up with your crowd. If we take kids to camp or a youth conference, listen, it's amazing that you can put 600 kids together from 50 different churches. They've never met each other before, and the rebels will immediately locate the rebels. The godly kids will immediately locate the godly kids. Water sinks to its own level. Look what it says in Proverbs 27, 19. As in water, face answereth the face. Just like you have put your face towards water and you've seen your reflection. By looking at that water, you know what you're seeing. That's you. Look what it says. So the heart of man to man. Your friends are a reflection of who you are. People that run together share the same thought process. They think alike. They're together because they have the same philosophy. You say, well, I'm with these people because I'm trying to help them. No, you're with them because your thought process is the same. Your friends are a revelation of who you are. Now, here's what I want to do in life. I want to make sure to pick friends who sharpen me, who help me, who inspire me. Look what it says in verse 17. Just go back two verses. Iron sharpeneth iron. That's why I want friends that are iron. I don't want to include into my life pudding or plastic. Amen? I want iron, something that's going to sharpen me and help me, inspire me. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. I'm thankful for pastors and for the friendship of pastors and for godly people. But there are people, although good people, they don't sharpen me, so I limit the time that I spend with them. I appreciate Brother Covington and Brother Brown and Brother Martin and Brother Ouellette, Brother Camilleri and Brother Logan, and these are people that I purposely, Brother James Hoffmeister, That's why I bring these people in for weeks at a time, not so much for you, but for me. I need them to sharpen me. These are people that inspire me. Now, if you have friends and you've chosen some people to be involved in your life and you've put those influences in your path, let me ask you this. Are they challenging you to do right? If there's someone that's helping you do wrong or not helping you to grow, not inspiring you to become a better person, that's not the right kind of friendship. Now, you ought to be kind to everyone. You ought to be loving. You should not surround yourself with average Christian. You need to surround yourself with people that are sold out, committed, dedicated. You say, well, he's saved and he's a member of this church. That's not a bad thing. And that doesn't make him a bad person. But you know there are people in here that help you spiritually more than others. And as Christians, we got to say, a wise man strengthens, he grows in strength, he strengthens himself. And one of the keys to doing that is making sure you're surrounding yourself with strength, not weakness. Now, let me ask you this. What have you done this week? What have you done this month? What have you done this year to surround yourself with strength? Because if we're honest with ourselves, if we examine our lives, if we take a look at our failures, it's because instead of identifying that weakness, we just added another influence. And if you're not careful, we start to add. You've added social media, and you added Facebook, and then you added friends. You've never seen them. You've met them, but you're friends. And they're telling you about their lives, and you can't even keep up with your own life. And you've added those influences, and then you've added some sitcom, and then you added some kind of music, and none of those things are helping you spiritually. They're helping your flesh. You can put a spiritual face on them. You can justify them, but they're weakening. Listen, there are Christians in this church that I've been pastoring for 3 years, and I've watched a steady decline in your spiritual strength, and there are others that I've seen steadily grow in spiritual strength. The problem is not the church. The problem is not the ministries of the church. The problem is not the preaching. The problem is the influences that you've added to your life haven't been ones that have strengthened you. You've allowed continually influences in your life that are weakening your marriage or your standards or your doctrine or your faith or your trust in authority. You've allowed things, and here's what you got to do. You've got to learn to immediately identify those things. The alarm ought to go off. A red flag ought to go up. And you ought to say, wow, I didn't even realize, but that is something that weakens me rather than strengthens me. I've got to isolate that, eliminate it from my life, or decide how much time is healthy to spend with that person. Look what it says in Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Listen, all of us have a flesh. That means all of us are naturally weak. And here's how we normally pick friends. Normally, we like those that flatter us, that agree with us, that think like we do. That's a very improper way of picking friends. Friendship should be chosen with a spiritual mindset that says, can I help this person spiritually? Can they help me spiritually? We talked about the simple one and his growth and how he ought to desire to become wise and the steps that include prudence. And then we see eventually at some point, if he surrounds himself with the right counselors, and here's what too many of our young people are doing, they're not including the right counselors. Now, it's not good enough just to seek counsel. So here's what we do as parents or as leaders. We push kids. Listen, if you're going to be wise, you need to seek counsel. Seek counsel. Seek counsel. But then when they do it, they seek it from a peer. Or they seek it from someone with no experience or success in that area. How crazy would it be to seek counsel or wisdom from someone who's never experienced success or enough success to truly answer your question? So whatever they tell you is based on theory, opinion, or feeling. Listen, if you're building a building, you need to go to a constructor. If you've got a car problem, you need to go to a mechanic. If your AC just quit, you need to make sure you go to someone with proven experience and knowledge in that area who can truly help you get that AC, car, or whatever problem you have fixed. And when you have a spiritual problem, why is it that people have a spiritual problem and go to someone unspiritual for counsel or advice? You know why? They don't want spiritual counsel. They don't want honest feedback. They want approval. I don't want someone to be honest with me. I simply want someone to approve of the bad decision I'm about to make, the mistake that I've wholeheartedly endorsed. I want someone to pat me on the back, tell me it's fine, everything will be okay, it's not a problem. And I know if I go to a truly godly person, and here's what the average person does, that's not growing in strength, they're just continually being weakened spiritually. Here's what they do. They eliminate anybody from their lives that'll be honest with them. And here's what I've seen. When people start going downhill, anybody that gives them honest feedback is immediately taken out of their life, pushed out, pushed away. And here's how they justify it. Well, that person's just abrasive. Why is it that everyone godly in your life is abrasive to you? That means you're going the wrong direction. Why is it that you're so close to people that don't have a spiritual bone in their body? When you're going the wrong direction and you start pushing out the right influences in your life, you know what you just did? You weakened yourself spiritually. Now you've allowed yourself, you've removed the obstacles that are going to keep you from doing the wrong thing. You need to have some people in your life that disagree with you, that are blunt, that are extremely honest, that are straightforward, that you know you can trust, are going to look you in the eye. That's what true friendship is about. I appreciate friends that have kept me from heartache and from trouble and from problems by saying, Adam, that's not the right thing. This isn't the right time. Stop. Wait. But some of you, anybody that looks at you and tells you the honest truth is suddenly an enemy. That is the problem. And here's what we do. The Bible is full of tragic stories. And lives, listen, you've seen it and you know what the wrong influence can do in your life. There are scars that some of you carry and there are stories you don't want anyone, you don't even want your mate to know. You don't want your kids to know. You would be horrified if they ever knew your story or saw your scar because at some point in your life you had a wrong influence that you allowed to affect you, to lead you, to guide you, and you did something you would have normally never done under any other circumstance. But at that time, that moment, that wrong influence led you to do something you'll never get over, you'll never get past, you hope is never uncovered. You're trying to keep your kids from doing the same thing. And you ought to be cautious. You ought to make sure those influences aren't added to their life that could lead them down the wrong path. The Bible tells in 2 Samuel 13, don't go there, we're not going to read it this morning. It talks about Amnon, the son of David, who had a wicked, vile desire, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't bring himself to do it. There were too many obstacles, natural obstacles in his life, keeping him from doing it. But there was a problem because the Bible says in verse 3, but Amnon had a friend. And that friend, the Bible says, was subtle, and he devised a plan, and he helped Amnon fulfill the wicked, evil desires of his heart. And he not only committed a sin, he committed a crime because he had a friend who helped and influenced him to do the wrong thing. Now, let me tell you, you're capable of doing anything, if you have the wrong or introduce the wrong influences into your life. That's why you ought to say, I need to include people in my life that are challenging me, that are inspiring me, that are counseling me, that are correcting me, that are rebuking and reproving me. What is your spiritual condition if you're trying to eliminate anyone that ever offers you instruction, correction, or rebuke? That means you're going down the path of a fool or a scorner. Your destiny is only one of two things, according to the book of Proverbs. It's the way of the fool or the way of the scorner. Because a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. Listen, here's what he's going to do. He's going to take a look at his life and he's going to say, what are the influences in my life? Who is influencing me in a positive way? What is influencing me in a negative way? If you don't live in a closet, this life is going to surround you with a lot of negative influences. And that's why it is so important for you on a regular basis to sit down, take a look at your life and say, okay, who have I really chosen? Who have I really included that are positive influences? Who have I included recently that instructed me, corrected me, or rebuked me? Now, a lot of those right influences, you can say, I want good godly music. I want godly preaching. When I say sound preaching, listen, the worst thing you can do is go online or tune into Christian radio or Christian television. You need to get some good Bible preaching, and it's not that difficult in this day and age. You can look up Brother Logan online or Brother Camilleri online, Brother Hanks online or Brother Angel, but someone who is strongly Baptistic that'll bring conviction. Turn to Proverbs 22. We have to identify and eliminate influences from our lives that weaken us. Now, one of the ways to do that is you can't surround yourself with discontent and bitter people. Now, regrettably, even in an independent Baptist church, there'll be people that have grown discontent, angry, frustrated, and bitter. And those are people that will weaken your faith, weaken your standards, weaken your convictions, weaken your Christianity, weaken your marriage, weaken your walk with God. The worst thing you can do is spend time with that crowd. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Look what it says in verse 25. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. What's the problem with spending time with that type of person or that type of crowd? You'll learn their ways. Now, let me just say this. When you get to sin, there's a process here. I'm not going to re-preach any of the messages that I've preached in the past couple years, but Hebrews 12, 15, it talks about failing in the grace of God. The grace of God doesn't fail you. You fail to live walking and sustained by the grace of God. And when you don't function in the grace of God, you become a very irritable, frustrated person, obnoxious to be around. Bitterness begins to grow in your heart. Now, what bitter people don't understand, number one, they rarely see their own level of bitterness. And number two, when addressed, they will lash out and say, why is it? Now listen, if anyone ever talks to you about being bitter, you better open your eyes. People don't just walk around with those kind of accusations. It's not like you just woke up one day and said, you know what, I'm going to go accuse someone of being bitter. Let me see who I can accuse. You know better than that. If you have to confront someone about being bitter, you know because they've pushed everyone to the max, and now you're in a corner and you have no choice but to address their bitterness. So if someone addresses your bitterness, your eyes better go open, your ears better be cleared out, your mind suddenly ought to be focused. You ought to say, why is it that I have people addressing me about bitterness? Obviously, there's something there. Amen. But here's what you need to do. It doesn't take months or years to identify a friend of yours that's bitter. And you've been with people, you've eaten with people. Listen, I've gotten up from tables. You say you'd get up from a table? Oh, absolutely. Paul told Titus, he said, when you're dealing with that crowd, number one, who's attacking sound doctrine, those that are attacking the Word of God, those that are bitter, here he used two words that we ought to use. He said, rebuke sharply. That's the way you have to address that. Now, here's what will happen. You'll be sitting down at a table, and there's someone spewing bitterness. You don't need a degree in theology or psychology to figure out that's bitterness. I wonder, can you keep that going for just a minute? I'm going to have to gauge this with an... if it's attacking others, if it's frustrated, if it's negative in nature, if it's hurtful, why would you sit down and eat a meal with someone that's attacking Christians or the church or Christian doctrine or standards or philosophy? I've gotten that before. Now, normally, here's what I do. The first thing I do is try to redirect the conversation. But normally, you can't redirect the conversation to someone that's bitter. I mean, it's seeping out of their pores. How many ever tried to redirect the conversation to someone that's bitter? Amen. How did it work? Were you successful? Normally, you're not going to be successful. Now, here's what you need to do. Follow Paul's advice. Rebuke them sharply. You know what? I don't want to participate in this conversation. I don't want to have anything to do with this. If you're angry, if you're frustrated, you need to go deal with God and yourself and that friend. But I don't want to be included. Because here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 12:15. When that root of bitterness springs up, the end result is this. It says it defiles many. And here's where weakness comes. Now I want you to think about weakness for a minute. Weakness comes like a cancer. Weakness is a result of a sickness. Years ago, when my dad became sick before he died, for years, that autoimmune sickness that he was dealing with began to weaken his body. And it so weakened him that his organs began shutting down. And holding items that weighed more than 5 or 6 pounds became impossible. And his hands began to shake. And we saw a degenerative condition that aided his body until it destroyed him. And that's what we see in the house of God. Someone has a sickness called bitterness, and it's eating at their soul. And you see what's taking place. Now, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to be contaminated by that sickness. You don't want to be defiled by that mindset. That's why I've told my wife and my kids, as long as I am the man of this house, that means as long as I'm breathing, there will be no one that's a member of any kind of social media, because there's all kinds of sicknesses being passed around, all kind of bitterness being spewed. You know what, to me, social media is like? It's like digging through a trash can at a local hospital. Here's what we have done. We have included those influences in our life. And you say, well, I don't understand. I'm becoming negative. I'm becoming frustrated. I'm becoming angry. I'm becoming bitter. Of course, when you walk with this kind of crowd, you're going to learn their ways and leave defiled. Look what it says in Romans 16. You need to just totally eliminate any time spent with those that would weaken your standards or doctrine. I thank God for the men of God that have been introduced to this church in our lives. I thank God for Brother Hanks. And he has a standard. When he comes into town, he won't eat at a single restaurant or a single place that serves alcohol. So I sent him with Pastor Robert to McDonald's, and with Pastor Mark to Wendy's, and with Pastor Ben to Luby's. Because outside of that, in Austin, you're not going to find a single restaurant. But here's what I appreciate about those men. When you know, when you've had family and you've been affected by an alcoholic and you've seen how brutal that can be. My grandfather died because of his addiction to alcohol. And you've seen the way marriages have been hurt and families have been hurt and children have been abused and the craziness that takes place when someone is drunk. I thank God for someone with a conviction that says, if they serve alcohol, I don't want to be on the premises. Flee the presence of someone that's attacking your standards, convictions, doctrine, or faith. They're going to weaken you. How are you going to grow? How are you going to become a stronger Christian or a stronger person around that kind of influence? Now, why would you add them to your daily diet of conversation when you know what they think? what they do, how they live, what they're going to talk about. Here's what Paul said, Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Hold on. God's word's very, very, very blunt. Paul said, mark them, which cause what? So, step number one, Paul said there's someone that's divisive. Someone's divisive for the ministry. Someone divisive in your church. Someone undermining or dividing or causing doubt or attacking. What's he saying? Number one, there's a couple steps here. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. And number two, so you're supposed to mark them and then avoid them. You ought to say what comes out of my mouth is going to be positive, it's going to be helpful, it's going to be edifying, it's going to be uplifting, it's going to be unifying. Go back with me to Proverbs. We'll read a couple more verses and be finished. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man. Now let me ask you this. Should you spend time with someone that is contentious? If you're a wise man, you're going to grow in strength. Does a contentious person add to your spiritual strength? Does a contentious person make you a better Christian? You've got to eliminate that from your life and say, listen, in every environment, in every church, occasionally there's going to be someone that's contentious. And what I have to do is say, I'm not against them. I'm not going to attack them. I'm just not going to be their ear. I'm not going to lend my attention. I'm not going to make them a part of my life. I'm not doing Burger King, McDonald's, or any other restaurant with them because that's going to put me in a spot where I have to listen to that for 35, 45, or 55 minutes at a time. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now, you know what a wound will do? It'll weaken you. I know those that went to the Amazon just by sending the dentist and pulling some of those teeth, ridding the infection that some of those people were facing, literally saved their lives. The infection was so bad, it was already in the bone, it would have gone to the heart and killed them. There are wounds that some people just simply don't survive. Well, here's what's going to happen. When you're with someone that's wielding a spear or sword and swinging it, I wouldn't be real close because at some point, you may get chopped. How many ever seen a little kid with a broom? Like he was in battle. He was dreaming that he was in the medieval times. Jousting and fighting, and you're thinking about the ceiling fan and the lamps and tell him, go to your bedroom, and you're preparing the straitjacket that take away his weapons. Now, the smart man would say, when someone's in that mode, I'm not going to be sitting 2 feet away and just hope I don't get hit. Now, here's what happens. When they're occasionally in that people in that mood or in that mode, what is the safe thing to do? Back up. There's a pleasure being with pleasant people. And listen, if I eat a meal, I don't want to just enjoy the food on my plate. I want to enjoy the environment that's created by the conversation. I want to know I'm dealing with someone who's excited about life, who's growing as a Christian, who's happy with their spiritual growth, who's helping others, involved in discipling. But here's what's going to happen. You have a human nature that needs strengthened. And if you don't surround yourself with strength, what's option B? Surrounding yourself with weakness. And that's constantly going to be attacking your joy. The best thing you can do is say, if my marriage is being weakened, what influence is attacking my marriage? If my joy is being weakened, if my faith, if my convictions, if my doctrine, if my standards, if my relationship with God, if my conscience, if any of those things are being weakened, what influence have I added to my life? And cable TV will do that. And the wrong kind of music will do that. And the longer you have negative influences in your life, the weaker you become, and you grow weak enough to the point you do something you can't even believe you've done, because the influences you added are the ones you didn't eliminate. And at some point, you need to grow enough where you become a right influence. You ought to be the person that's challenging, inspiring, helping, and influence that others say, they've helped me do right. Because some of you, I'm not talking about two-year-olds in the faith. I'm talking about people that should know better. Some of you at 8 and 10 and 15 and 20 years old as a Christian, you're still someone else's excuse to do wrong. A wise man will grow in strength.
We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message today, but more importantly, we hope that the Lord has challenged you in some way to grow in your Christian life. For more information about our church, including directions and times of services, please visit our website at www.capitalcitybaptist.org.